Hey, folks, we're going to get the podcast started in just a moment. The Oilers celebrating a big come-from-behind win against the Boston Bruins. Before we get started tonight, though, some tough stuff we got to get through here. Listen, a wonderful friend of the community, a wonderful friend of this podcast, just an amazing person was lost this week. If you've been listening to Got Your Back over the recent months, you'll recognize the name UCAN Youth Services. It's an amazing charity that we've partnered with. One of my very good friends, Kyle Dubay, made it his life's passion, UCAN Youth Services. For decades, he worked on that project and on that charity and turned it into something absolutely amazing and beautiful and something that we're proud to be partnered with here on Got Your Back. Tragically, Kyle was lost this week, passed away a couple of days ago. And man, words can't even describe the magnitude of this loss. He dedicated his life to helping at-risk youth in this city. And over the course of decades, developed that incredible program over at UCAN. To his sons Liam and Jackson, to his wife Jeanette, to his entire family, we pass on our sincere condolences. Kyle was an amazing guy. He was an amazing friend. He was an inspiration. And man, is he ever going to be missed. He loved this podcast. He loved the Oilers. This is a post from a family member today. He was relentless in his love for his family. He was relentless in helping others in need. He was relentless at laughing at himself. And man, are we ever going to miss this big guy. We love you, buddy. Got Your Back Podstream is brought to you by Kinprint. For all your company's promotional needs, they do it all. Apparel, promotional products, using the highest quality brands. They do logo design, signage, and printing. Kinprint will promote your brand with excellence. Visit kinprint.ca. Cutter Square, Ruby, we good to go?
We're good to go.
All right, buddy. Thanks, everybody, for your patience. A little technical snafu there, which, by the way, Kyle would be laughing at. He did more than his share of broadcasting. Had a podcast of his own called Relentless. I was lucky enough to be a guest on it, and that man was in his element on that podcast. He loved being a host, loved asking people questions. And he was a big fan of this show. Streds, I know you knew Kyle as well, buddy. Good dude, man. Good dude. He's going to be missed.
Yeah, he was great. Big personality. I met him many years ago. And the first time I met him, he asked me to do something for UCAN. Next thing I know, I was golfing with people, doing all these things. That was who he was. I'm like, yeah, I'll do it. I didn't even know what I was getting into. He just had a great energy about him. And I was just devastated to hear this news. And he will be missed. But man, if you knew Kyle, you know exactly what I'm talking about, man. This guy was not afraid to ask and got you doing things he didn't know he was supposed to do.
Oh, man. And by the way, we've been talking about the comedy nights. Like, these comedy nights were Kyle's baby, right? They're one of a massive fundraiser for UCAN. It's basically their main fundraiser. They do six straight nights of comedy at West Edmonton Mall. And despite the fact that they're getting underway like in the next few days here, I talked to the group down at UCAN today and they are pushing through with these nights, despite the fact that Kyle was the brains behind all of it. So the comedy nights at UCAN are going to be a go. So we encourage you to go to ucancomedy.com, I believe is the website. You can still purchase tickets. This is an amazing cause. It was dear to Kyle's heart. It's going to be emotional. It's going to be difficult. There it is, Chris. Thanks for bringing that in. March 11th to 13th and the 18th to the 20th, but there are still individual tickets for sale. You can mention that Got Your Back sent you and you can get a deal. And even if you just want to be part of this amazing charity, I mean, this is his legacy, man, outside of his wonderful family, of course, but this organization is very much his legacy and they could use your support. You can become a monthly donor. Got Your Back is proud to be a monthly donor. So we'd love it if you could sign on and do something like that or join us at the comedy nights. So check it out at ucancomedy.com. Bit of an emotional start here. So we're having some technical stuff and I forgot our ad reads, but I just want to remind everybody that Got Your Back is brought to you by our amazing title sponsors, Sherwood Buick GMC. fantastic dealership just off Baseline Road on the way into Sherwood Park. I know that Phil over at Sherwood Buick GMC knew Kyle well. Phil and his crew are going to be a big part of the UCAN Comedy Nights as well. They're also a big supporter of the group over at UCAN. So I know that Phil and the entire crew at Sherwood Buick GMC is also thinking about Jeanette and the kids and the entire family. Okay, Struds, before we get to breaking down the game, I do have to just say, a big day for you tomorrow. Lots of people are talking about this online, bud. So tell everyone, if they haven't heard, you're getting a seat in the big, big chair.
Yeah, it's funny. Well, you've prepared me, you and Greg. So I tomorrow I'm going to join the part host or whatever you want to call it on Overdrive, the big show on the TSN flagship there in
Toronto. Do they pay better than I do? Actually, I don't want to know. Don't tell me.
Yeah, actually, you and I have to have a talk. But yeah, so this is awkward, actually. I'm glad you brought it up. No, I'm looking forward to it. And I love the podcasting world. It's neat to do something like with other guys who I know, and it'll be casual. Yeah. Very, you know, maybe, I don't know, wait, I've got this Wednesday, maybe next Wednesday, maybe here and there. But Noodle's a good friend, you know, O-Dog and Hayes and I have become friends. So I'm looking forward to it. And just, you know, talk Leafs. And I think everyone knows how I kind of talk about the Leafs. So it'll be interesting to see how I'm received there in a very pro-Leafs world.
Yeah, it's not exactly friendly territory for you. Kind of behind enemy lines a little bit there, buds.
I do. And I love that. I do love it. And I think that people understand it's good natured, right? I mean, I'm really looking forward to the opportunity and I appreciate it. And yeah, so it'll be, I'll be here. Oh, that's for sure. The big job. And then there when they need me and when I'm available, I'll jump in.
That's awesome, buddy. We're going to get to breaking the game down, but I have to say, I'm kind of overwhelmed here, Struds, as we're chatting. Comments are coming in on the live stream here as we're live on YouTube and on Twitter about Kyle. Of course, we're talking about our good buddy Kyle Dubé, who tragically passed away this week, but lots of people knew him, man. He was well known. Neil Garrity says, played hockey with and against Kyle growing up, loved him on my team, always kept my head up playing against him. He was one of the good guys. Yeah, you would want to keep your head up against that guy, man. That was a cement truck coming at you.
Yeah, well, I mean, both for hitting you and also for his passes. I believe I saw him pass it a couple times, and that was an adventure. He was no Leon Draisaitl with the puck on his stick.
Kyle also used to get me into Cowboys in Calgary when it was lined up around the block, says Neil Garrity, which we love that one. I grew up with Kyle in St. Albert's. He was always on my minor hockey team, where I played against him my whole minor hockey career. Kyle was an absolute menace. On the ice, he was the same menace in junior high. Oh, my God. I absolutely love it. Incredible the reach that this guy had, man. Keep making comments that's not one there. But just awesome, awesome. His reach in this community was absolutely phenomenal. And listen, man, tough, tough week. But he would have loved this comeback from the Edmonton Oilers, Strutty. Oh, boy, was he a massive Oiler fan. Huge Oiler fan. So he would have loved this one. Let's get to breaking it down, courtesy our friends over at Adrenaline Diesel, Edmonton's heavy-duty diesel truck repair shop. They perform services from oil changes to engine swaps, overhauls, and modified engine work. The crew at Adrenaline Diesel are there to get your truck or trailer in great shape, like it's right out of the factory. Drop in or check them out at adrenalinediesel.ca. I want so badly to start this podcast off talking about Leon Draisaitl and two goals and what a comeback and all this and that, but Struds and Omar asked for it on the stream. He made the call, and I think it's where we need to start. I think we got to start with Ryan Nugent-Hopkins, don't we? Am I crazy? What a play. Nope. Save the game.
Second time we've seen the Nuge do this. There are those people that challenge what Nugent Hopkins' role is on this team and his value. Well, he just touches so many different parts of the game. And then he's had two massive plays that have saved the game for the Edmonton Oilers. Make no mistake about it. He has saved the game. So what is that? 4 points they've got off these plays he's done, you know? So I'm not sure what is that? Wins above replacement, whatever you want to call it. Like, that is two huge plays right there. So it's a great story. And two things. One, it's a great, great play, no doubt. But two, it inspires others to do the same on your team. You want to be the guy that makes a play that is not sexy, that doesn't make the stat sheet, that is not going on Instagram to show 10-year-olds how great it is. but you inspire teammates, and he continues to do that. So incredible back check by him.
Bouchard tried a couple times in overtime to hand it over, hey, or late in the game or in overtime there, just a couple of tough turnovers from him. He wasn't the only one. There were a few other ones, but you know, he's going to be on the ice in the big moments, and he should be. He should be out there, but maybe needs to just bear down a little, be a little bit more sure-handed in those critical moments. Struds, is that fair? I'm not trying to be hard on him. He's had a great season, but.
Well, let's talk about, I mean, for me, the play is you're talking about when Nuge has a back check. He looks up, and instead of just throwing it down the wall, he tries to get it through to the net, which I understand. Like, that is his instinct. I get that. But, you know, you just have to manage that moment. Maybe the shot's not there. Let's just throw it down the wall. Now, he was instrumental in the overtime, and I get all that. But just, you can still point out a point where it could have just slid down the wall and lived to fight another day. Instead, Nuge has to make an incredible back check play.
Yeah, and it wasn't just that one. What do you think of the turnover out of the corner? Because, by the way, the second play we should probably talk about is the save by Stuart Skinner on Jake DeBrusk off of a turnover out of the corner. Now, Ekholm was there. Maybe he could have handled that pass a little better. Bush was a little bit off the tape, but tough moment there.
It was, and that's one you want to see him clean up. Yep. And let's go to the game-winning goal or the game-tying goal. I swear to God, that pass he did from the point to Nugent or to McDavid, it was probably paper thin how close it was from that to being a breakaway and an empty netter. Like,
we're being too hard on two. They won the game. We probably got to move on from this, or people are just going to cream us.
My nuts were in my throat when I saw that pass. But I'm also getting really nervous around the blue line. So credit to him. But he was instrumental in this win. So let's give him the credit.
And you know what? He makes so many high skill plays. That's in those big moments. You just got to bear down just a little bit in those moments. Amazing save by Stuart Skinner. I thought at that point, I was like, oh, I wonder if we're going to be talking about that save. Skinner Strutty has dialed his game back in, man. He has dialed it right back in. He is on fire. There is no chance the Oilers are even considering a move in net. He has grabbed it again here big time. Tonight was a great example of that.
Yeah, at fair point. But I think the flip side of that is, how many truly great chances do the Bruins have?
You know, well, I mean, DeBrusk had two in a low scoring game. Either of those could have gone in.
But you're going to give up. Let me make it clear. I'm not saying that he didn't play well, but what I'm saying is that the Oilers have dialed back the number of great chances.
Sure.
They're giving up.
Sure.
I mean, it was. Yeah, like I think you have to also give the
players credit. To give a tender credit. Like I wish Gager was on here tonight. He'd be all over you.
Here we go, Joaquin Gage. This Joaquin Gage that. But I'm being honest here, Shogar. Is that, and this isn't suggesting this. It's because when Stoders need Skinner, he made saves. There's no doubt about it.
Yeah.
But they're not making him make as many 10 bell saves as we saw during that little stretch of tougher play other results he didn't want. So this isn't so much I'm not putting down Skinner. It's lifting up the skaters in front. Like, what would be the great scoring chances? Do they get 6 to 8 maybe against somewhere in there if you're counting?
Yeah. Do you know what? I can actually pull this. I'll kind of do this in real time while we're chatting here, but I can pull this. This is off our courtesy of our friends at Sport Logic. What do we got here?
My eye test to the test here. This is, I said 6 to 8.
10 high danger scoring chances, according to Sport Logic, at all strengths. The Oilers had 16. So Sport Logic has 10 high danger scoring chances.
Old Uncle Strutty, pretty damn close, within 20% of what the number was.
Still, I mean, Skinner made the saves tonight, and he made critical saves at a key moment. I feel like I agree with you. They're cutting it back. Just look at the goals against, how much they're cutting it back in their recent. Look at 5 wins, right? They're not giving up 3, 4, 5 anymore, Strutty.
Yeah, no, and that's but both I think both can be true. Skinner's kind of got his game dialed in. But I don't think it was as dialed out as maybe the players were with the play in front of them. I guess that's the nicest way I can say it.
So, stunning breaking news here. Strutty wants to share credit between the goaltender and the defense, too. They get credit, too, for Skinner's night tonight for defending really haters. Well. An exhausted Stuart Skinner who played really, really well tonight. I'm just giving you the gears, buddy. I know Noodles is one of your best friends. I don't know how, as a goaltender, he hasn't been able to instill more respect in you for the goaltenders of the world.
No, but I think I was pretty consistent. Even when they weren't playing that well and they were giving a lot of goals, I wasn't all over Skinner. I was talking about the team, right? Like, I honestly think if the team's not playing well in front of a goalie, it's hard to be highly critical of the goalie. If the goal, if they, like, let's say tonight the Oilers gave up 10 scoring chances like that, and they gave up five goals, then we're looking at Skinner. Then I think you can say, okay, this is because you're going to give up, you're giving up chances every game. If there's no perfect game where you don't give up a chance.
Okay, let's get to the tying goal and the winning goal and that whole confluence of events that happened after Nugent Hopkins made the amazing play. Let's maybe get to the tying goal first, Reddy. This is where a good solid face-off guy matters, players willing to go to the front of the net matter, and just, you know, solid puck control in a moment where it's on the line.
Yeah, I mean, you win that face-off, the puck goes from Bouchard to Connor, and then you're
nice,
like,
nice play by Bouchard. Let's give him credit. Nice play.
No, great play. And it's highly skilled. And then next thing you know, the puck is going towards the net. You know, as soon as McDavid gets, he's trying to get to the net. And lucky goal, with all due respect to Leon, lucky goal, hits the front of the goaltender, goes over, then drops behind him and goes in. But there were multiple Oilers players around that net. And I think that is so important. You're not, you know, maybe in the past, we'd seen more of the Oilers out on the outside waiting for a one-timer. They're like, no, today we are grinding. We're getting the puck to the net, because give the Bruins credit. They're a pretty good defending team as well.
Yeah, I agree. I like the fact, was it just me or did Draisaitl not take another swipe at it while it was in the air because it might have been above the crossbar? Did you see him hold off thinking about it?
100%. I think once he saw that it was going to go over top of the goaltender, he was going to wait to see it drop and then be there to pounce on it. But that's just such a heady play by a smart player.
Yeah, Omar, or Neil, who said it? Shane Matheson says, Leon won the last three draws he had, Omar. Huge. So draws were a big factor at key moments in this game. Draisaitl was 60%. Ryan Nugent-Hopkins was 6-3, 67%. And Connor McDavid was 4-3 at 57%. Okay, let's get to the overtime winner. And Connor McDavid struds just kind of, it was a bit of a chess match, and the Bruins have played a lot more overtime this year than the Oilers have, and McDavid kind of outsmarted him in the end, drawing a couple guys over, hey, and threading it. Like, it was pretty high IQ play from him.
Well, first off, I believe the stat was 22 overtime games for the Bruins.
Yeah.
Like, that's crazy amount of overtime games. Like, that is, I still can't believe when I saw them, like, doing the math in my head, that is a ton of percentage, high percentage. Yeah. I don't know what the record is all time since they put in 3-on-3, but that's got to be pretty damn close to it. I'm guessing, just guessing here. Now, yeah, so, you know, the great thing about the Oilers, they win the faceoff, and then they kind of had possession for quite a while, then there was a change, and then the big guys come back out again, and you could tell they were feeling it. And the Bruins, I think they had two defensemen out there, if I remember correctly, and they just kept bringing it out and attacking again. And what they're looking for, creating a little bit of separation so that McDavid can get his speed. And, you know, he makes the first move on the first guy, goes around, the next guy makes a move around McAvoy. And now everyone's looking at him. Leon, you can see he turns away towards the boards, and then the puck slides back to him. So just looking to create some separation and find a little bit of gaps in what, you know, you try to stay relatively tight defending that, but they opened up just a hair, bang. Leon gets the pass from Connor, and he shoots it on the ground. Like, that's it was right on the ground. So maybe, I don't know if that was intentional.
He said after he felt he got a little bit, well, let's hear from him. Let's get to the Weiss Johnson sound box here. 45 years they've been in the business. Should you need a new furnace, garage heater, air conditioner, hot water tank, or any of those things service, Weiss Johnson's the place to go. Edmonton's number one choice for heating, air conditioning, and plumbing services. Struds, just a heads up for you. After you read the Weiss Johnson sponsorship read, we play a little jingle. I let you host for one day, and you forgot about the Weiss Johnson jingle.
Is Zuby, that you?
Roll it. Jingle. Weiss Johnson. Oh, Zuby rolled the wrong jingle. What is happening on this podcast? The disrespect to Weiss Johnson, Zuby.
I'm rattled.
Man. I apologize. Dennis, the amazing crew at Weiss Johnson, I got your back, okay? Everyone else on this pod has bailed on you. I got your back. Here is Leon Draisaitl postgame.
You know, at the end of the day, you need one shot, one play to be made. And, you know, we got a lot of great players on our group that, you know, in tight games and tight moments can make a play. So, you know, we haven't been the best 6-on-5 this year, so it was nice to get one. Yeah, probably never gets enough credit for how hard he works.
This is on Nugent Hopkins.
You know, he's one of the best guys in the world at stripping guys from behind. And you know, he's such a sneaky hard worker. doesn't get enough credit for that a lot of times. So, you know, without that play, probably not standing here talking about a win.
This was asked earlier, but does this feel like a playoff game to you? Like, did it have everything?
Yeah, game for sure. Yeah, tight game. Tough team to beat. Tough building to play in. You know, they play playoff style game every night. So, good for us to you know, stick with it.
Struds, it was a grind tonight. Like, Boston doesn't give up a bunch. The Oilers stay patient. It sort of felt like who's going to make the first massive mistake, and the Oilers ended up making it. And what happened there on that goal? Did you see just a bad pinch from CeCe?
Yeah, CeCe, you know, we've spoken about them before, and you're either 100% pinching or you're not. And he was in between, and then it creates a 2-on-1. And you know what happens? And then you're hoping your partner can bail you out or the goalie. But it was a great play by the Boston, so it didn't happen. But this truly felt like a playoff game. It was like, who's going to break first? Who's going to make that first mistake? Who's going to let a bad one in? And the Oilers, what I love is the resiliency they showed. They came back, found a way, didn't get rattled, didn't, you know, they upped their tempo, I thought, after that goal. They kind of carried the playoff offensively after that goal. But they didn't start taking unnecessary chances. They stayed with it. They knew they had whatever much time was left out in the game. Kept pushing. They finally got their goal. Then they got into overtime, and the same thing. They controlled the play for the most part in overtime, and they won a playoff game. And you could tell by the reaction of Connor McDavid, that he knew this was a good win. You know, like, it was, they were happy. And how often do you see Leon and Connor react like that? Like, especially for a regular season game. So I think that should tell Oilers fans, or indicate, you know, how invested these two guys are and the team is into this regular season time.
I thought they both looked like they wanted this one early. I thought that line was really good early. Thought they had good jump. And McDavid has talked in the past about how these guys just seem to have a formula. They seem to have it figured out. I think it's really meaning. I think Connor McDavid deeply respects what the Boston Bruins have been able to do consistency-wise, because his group has been searching for it. I think these Boston games are really meaningful to him.
Well said. And I can't disagree with that. I mean, this guy explores everything personally and team-wise.
Yep.
It is required to win. And, I, you know, why wouldn't you look at a team like the Bruins have been this good for this long, and they've had, you know, quite a, you know, kind of the same guys around for a while, but they've had multiple new people come in as well.
Hey, I got a clip from Vinny Dernay tonight that I think Oilers fans, I don't know if they'll like it. I think they'll like it. You tell me what you think, Struds. But Daniel Nugent-Bowman, who's on the road with the team, he and Speck were asking a lot of the questions post-game tonight. He asked Vinny Dernay if it felt like a playoff game. And Dernay, with a little bit of a little prediction here, maybe?
Feel like a playoff game too? Yeah, it did. It was tight. It was not many shots, lots of block shots, lots of hits. And who knows, we might see them at some point.
Oh, Vinny. What do you think, Struds? Little prognosticating from the big guy, though. You never know.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, that's a long time away. I mean, I don't
come
know.
Come on, you know what he meant, though.
Oh, I know that I wouldn't.
I love it, man. I love it. It's good.
I think that's the excitement of the moment.
Yeah, he had a big smile on his face. I'm not criticizing him. I thought it was great. No. We're getting criticized a little bit here. Saber Cove says, my brain hurts reading Boosh haters. Man is a legend for this team. We've never had a player like him since Paul Coffey. No Boosh hating happening. But I think when you're going to occupy the role that he's going to occupy on this team, right? Like, main guy in all the big moments, I think Oilers fans should want him to be bearing down in some of these big moments. And it's okay. Mistakes happen. No big deal. But my analysis is, in some of these big moments, he's got to buckle down a little bit. I'm not saying Cody Ceci would do any better if he were out there with that pressure. But if Boosh is going to be the guy, Struddy, just got to tighten it up a little bit. The playoffs, you got to tighten it up.
It's just, again, just the level of risk that you're inviting into your game. Do you need to? Do you not?
Great point.
And so this isn't a criticism. I mean, I was talking about Connor McDavid when he should and shouldn't shoot.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if I can, you know, evaluate when Connor's shooting or not shooting, I'm pretty sure I'm qualified to talk about Bouchard and you know, just that play specifically on what turned out to be a great play by Nugent Hopkins. Like, the lane wasn't there. So just throw it back down the wall. Live to fight another day. Your forwards know if you can't get it to the net, you can't go to your partner. You throw it down below the goal line, and we'll get it back there, and we'll try to work it back up to you again.
A reminder that Strutty's performance on the podcast is brought to you by Kinprint, where they can help you find creative ways to promote your brand's high-quality apparel. Top-of-the-line brands, visit kinprint.ca. This one of our Got Your Back hats, one of the rare whites with orange fist iterations. These are available for purchase online, by the way. Check out our website, gybpod.com. Let's get to our UCAN Youth Services Relentless Player of the Game. We love you, Kyle. Helping at-risk youth find employment, this Edmonton local charity is hosting their upcoming Comedy Night fundraiser. Six shows, as we said, coming up here in March, and there are some packs of tickets left on a few of the nights, so make sure you don't miss out. Go to ucan.ca, or you can go to ucancomedy.com, and you can pick up tickets. They'll give you a deal if you mention that Got Your Back sent you, and it's going to be an emotional, a difficult, but a ton of fun, a ton of laughs. I know some of the people who are involved with this event, and they're going to know exactly the right way to pull this off and do great honor to Kyle. This was his absolute baby, and we want to continue to support it. Got Your Back is going to be there on the 20th, and we hope you get a chance to support it as well. Strutty, who are we giving the Relentless Player of the Evening to?
Well, this is easy. You know, sometimes the script writes itself, and it's yes. Nugent Hopkins. The way he backchecked on that. It just inspires your teammates to see him doing that. And he saved the Oilers, well, got the Oilers 2 points.
Nugent Hopkins, no shots on net, no points. He had two attempts blocked and a couple of missed nets. But just an absolutely massive play in the defensive zone. And when Ryan Nugent Hopkins is thinking the game that way defensively, the way he has been recently, that bodes really well for this team. Still stunning, Strutty, when you think about what he did offensively for this team last year and the amount of money he makes.
Yeah.
First power play unit, one of the first penalty killers over the boards, can be a first line player, probably, you know, if not your best winger, your second best winger at five and change. And he wanted to be here, wanted to get the 8-year deal done, insisted on it. Wanted to go nowhere else. Five and change. Crazy, man. Like,
no, it's a good deal. It's a good deal. And he's a good person. That's the kind of guy you want your young players watching, emulating, trying to become.
Wants to be here. Wants to raise the family here.
Pretty awesome.
Yeah, fantastic. Ryan Nugent Hopkins, a Relentless Player of the Game, courtesy UCAN Youth Services. Struds, let's talk trade. When we come back, let's dedicate the entire takeaway segment. Oil Fan wants it. Let's talk some trade stuff when we come back. Very short break.
The fastest growing male grooming company on the planet just got even better. Backscape 2.0 with a revolutionary friction fit handle makes the razor easy to pop in and out to shave not only your back, but anywhere on your body. And those hard to reach spots just got even easier with the new ergonomic design. Backscape's new titanium shave head makes for a smoother, more comfortable shave that respects your skin. Backscape 2.0. Stay smooth, gentlemen.
The Brindley family has made it their mission to create the best tasting flavored rums on the planet, and they've knocked it out of the park with their Shipwreck rums. Brewed off the small Caribbean island of St. Kitts, their spiced rum is aged 4 years in bourbon barrels and infused with natural vanilla. Their Shipwreck vanilla is blended with natural Madagascar vanilla, giving it incredible smoothness. One sip and you'll agree, it truly is a vacation in a bottle. Available at your local liquor retailer. Please enjoy responsibly.
Strutty just pointed out during the break, 3,400 people watching on Twitter right now. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And the thing about Twitter this year, they disabled the comments, so they're not able to be quite as interactive, but love the fact that you're tuned in. Thanks so much. And thank you to everybody that's joining us here on the live stream as well, on YouTube as well. We are having a blast here on Got Your Back. Looking forward to trade deadline, looking forward to the playoff push. Strutty and I, Brownie, Zuby, Steve, we're going to be all over it. Time now for takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. Experience the thrill of the Widescape stand-up snowmobile. Visit Martin Motorsports, West or South Edmonton. Take this thing for a test. Look at this thing. We got to get out on one of these, Struds. Chris has been talking about taking us out. We got to get out on that thing. Compact design, unmatched agility, revolutionary machine designed for off-trail riding in the deep snow. Stop by Martin Motorsports to to view one today. Looks like fun. Okay, let's get into it. And Zuby, if you see anything that comes across the stream on Trade Talk, we can hit on a little bit of that as well. Struds, my position has not really changed here from where it was when I laid it down last week. I believe that the target is a top six right winger if they can find one. If it's not the perfect fit on the right side, I think they'll go with the center instead to allow them to have some versatility. They're going to add a depth defenseman. Ken Holland, talking to Bob Stauffer on Oilers Plus tonight, basically admitted that there'll be a depth defenseman that gets added here at some point. But the name Adam Henrique, bud, I keep coming back around to that one. And you've been on this one for a really long time. I don't know if the ideal winger is going to be out there, and we'll talk a little bit later about the Mantha deal tonight, but it still feels to me like that's a real strong possibility. You get another team involved, you quarter that salary, that's a good add at what that dollar figure would be.
Yeah, and how many times can I pat myself on the back? I'm not kidding. I've literally been on the Adam Henrique train for two or three seasons.
Your ability to do it is endless, to pat yourself on the back.
But if no one else does it, you have to do it yourself, right? So I'm here to pat myself back.
Well, honestly, I did pat you on the back. It's not like I didn't give you any credit, yet you still felt the need to give yourself credit, which is interesting.
A double pat. No, but just kidding. But the thing I like about Adam Henrique is he just checks off a lot of boxes, and there are going to be injuries. Whether it's regular season or playoffs. And I would like to have a guy that can be a bit of a Swiss Army knife. And I believe that's what he is. So let's just say the Oilers go for Vladdy Tarasenko, who is a big guy, has won Stanley Cups. He's got that pedigree. He can score. Not like he used to, but he can score. If there's an injury to a center, he's not popping in the center. He's not, I'll just start playing center. It doesn't work that way. With Adam Henrique, my feeling is that he can play around the lineup. Right wing, probably not the best idea. But if you need to move him up, you can move him up. If you need to move him down, want to play center, whatever, penalty kill, whatever, he can. He's like a little bit of a, like a Nugent Hopkins, light, if you will, and that's how I'd frame him. He's had a very good offensive year this year. He can win faceoffs. Not a huge man, but I just think he checks off so many boxes. So I like I said, this is a guy I've liked for a long time, way back to his time in New Jersey.
Yeah, and what you do is you involve two draft picks, right? You whatever the assets are to acquire him from Anaheim and to get them to retain half the salary, then you have to send another draft pick to another team to get them to retain another half of the salary, and basically you end up with the player at a quarter, right? So at 5.8, I'm going to embarrass myself with math here, but I believe it's in the 1.4 range or something like that. Struds is where it could potentially end up landing. Bottom line, there's ways to make the money work. Everyone saw Sam Gagner go on waivers today. This is about cap flexibility. By the Oilers having a short roster, as they have had basically this entire season, they've been accruing cap space slowly but surely. This move with Gagner helps free up a little bit more. And, they're going to have in the range of $3 million in cap space. They can bring in a player in and around the $3 million range without having to push anybody out. Now, they'll be short and they'll have to, there'll be some maneuvering that happens after. And I'm not saying they don't have to trade anyone out, Struds, but there is some more space to work with here than I think, maybe some people realize. You get other teams involved and you hack that salary back, and there is potential for the Oilers to take on some guys that have a bit of a bigger number.
There's no doubt about it. And just to kind of build off Adam Henrique, if he does come in, he becomes your third line center. Now Ryan McLeod can float around your lineup. He can move up, he can play beside Leon, where he has had some success. And that, because I'm not sure Janmark is the long-term solution there. If you feel like Henrique, you want some more speed, so you can surround more speed, you can put McLeod and Fogo there, and that adds more speed there. Or Holloway adds a bit more speed to his lineup. But he's a veteran who's been around and understands the game. And those veteran guys, generally speaking, don't panic in times of panic. And I think that Henrique, I'm pretty sure he's been in the Stanley Cup final with New Jersey. If I remember that correctly, it's been a few years now.
Yeah. Scott Laughton is another name that comes up a lot, right? A lot of discussion about what the Philadelphia Flyers are going to do, which direction they're going to go in. And the Oilers have liked this player for a while, but he just hasn't felt that attainable. His season this year, he's only got 10 goals in the 63 games that he's played. He's averaging 15 and a half minutes time on ice. Like his numbers is, you know, his analytics and such is 44.6% Corsi. But I like the player, right? Like there's a good player there, and I think he helps the Oilers. His dollar figure at 3.6 as his salary, his cap hit, I believe is 3. But I don't know what Philadelphia is going to do, man. There were some rumblings today. I think Elliot was talking about how potentially they should even consider adding a little bit here and there, or you don't know if Philly, if it's going to be the mass sell-off in Philly, like everybody thinks it is. They're scrappy. They're staying in the fight.
I think that Danny Briere is throwing curveballs out there.
Think so? Suggesting,
I do. It's a great story.
Love it.
You know, like, oh, we're still in it. We're making it. You know, these things, things are feeling good. But at the end of the day, I think that they are a team that's on I don't know if a retool or a rebuild, whatever you want to call it. They're trying to add more pieces. So I think he's just, I believe he's just telling people that they might add and he's going to go out. And I would still move out. But I know Sealer, it sounds like they're trying to get a deal done. Walker, if I can get a first-round pick for that guy, he's out the door so quick, I'll drive him to the airport. Not because I don't like him, but because I value that first-round pick. Now, Lawton's a little bit different. That's a different situation. But your unrestricted guys, out the door.
Kay Gill says, guys, don't forget Friedman and LeBron have said we're still in on Gensel and Toffoli. I believe the Oilers have nibbled around on Gensel. You know, Ken Holland had intentions of being very much in on those conversations. But I just don't think that the Oilers are a team that lines up to be able to execute that deal. I think that there are a number of things that kind of get in the way of that. I mean, he shoots the wrong way, which isn't ideal, but, you know, so be it. I just don't know that they're going to be at the front of the line when that domino falls. My gut tells me that. Toffoli would be interesting, Struds, because I mean, there's a gamer. There's a guy that can play a heavier game. That's a gamer. Has been in the battles. You know, can score the goals. Like you talk about grabbing the perfect winger to come in, you know, and fit in the top six. I mean, boom, right there.
Well, it's interesting, New Jersey. You know, by firing their coach, I get the sense they're not giving up on this season. But they do need a goaltender. I just don't see it right now that with their current goaltending, and it sounds like they were close to Markstrom or it was done and then didn't get done, whatever. They don't have another goalie. So they don't feel this season's over. So, and then more importantly, they want to have Toffoli back next year. So they're trying to sign him back right now. Yes or no?
Yeah. You're asking me, are they?
Well, if you think you want Toffoli back in your lineup next year, I'm trying to sign him right now.
Yeah. LeBron did say today that it was going to go right down to the wire with Toffoli. Like, they got to figure out what they're doing, man. You gong the coach this late, this close to the trade deadline. You got to figure out where you're at. You're sending messages. Like, it's it'll be interesting to see if that's a possibility or not. Jordan Eberle senses he probably wants to stay in Seattle, probably going to stay in Seattle, I would think. I thought he played pretty well the other night, though. Eberle still has some game in there.
Yeah, and listen, he's coming up in his 1,000th game. He's got a relatively young family. Loves Seattle. You know, sometimes you get near the end of your career, and, you know, you're happy where you're at. Your family's happy where you're at. And the team, you know, is, I think they need to find a little up, you know, more high-powered, you know, firepower. Mm-hmm. You know, if I'm Jordan Eberle and I like it there, I try to find a number that works for everybody. Settle in, whatever, 2 years, 3 years, whatever he wants, and just stay there. So do I think he'd help? Yeah, I think he'd look okay for the Oilers for sure. But I just think for an older player, sometimes if you like where you are, stay.
Frankie Vetrano, his name is rising up the trade bait boards. You're seeing it like slowly elevate. Good, heck of a good player there, having a hell of a good year. But it sounds like Anaheim wants quite a bit to execute a deal like that, and rightfully so. I mean, you need to keep good players around with your young players to be able to function, and you would view him as that.
Oh, for sure. And I love that player. Yeah. If you can get him, what's the cost? It's going to be very expensive.
Think about
what it took to get Ekholm, right? And that's what you're looking at. You know, probably I'm guessing in and around that world. At some point, you have to look, okay, is that the road you want to take? Like, Henrique's going to be less just because he's obviously there's less term left on his deal.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, something about that Henrique thing. I mean, you know, and I think Ken Holland's going to be really hesitant to part with a first round pick if there isn't some time left on the deal, if there isn't some term, if there isn't a way to squeeze a little bit more out of it. I can't help but think, Struds, that there's something that we're not seeing, something that we're not quite on. Maybe. It felt like that was like Ekholm's name was kind of out there last year, but it wasn't at the forefront. And all of a sudden, just boom, and everyone went, oh, okay. Yeah, I guess they've been working on that. That makes sense. Can't help but wonder if there isn't like a something that maybe isn't right under our noses that we're missing. Maybe he's doing something though, man. There's going to be at least two new players on this team by Friday. Like there's going to be.
Yeah. Well, I think the D-man's an easy one. That's a tap in, more of like a 5-6-7 guy. And then after that up front, you know, if they only do that and then one other forward, if it's a middle six, that means you haven't upgraded your fourth line.
Yeah, this Buchnevich talk is a little tough, though. I mean, that's huge assets to pull that player out of there. Like massive, massive assets. That's a, you know, I'm not sure that is necessarily the way that they're going to be able to go with it. And I don't think it's going to be Henrique and Toffoli or Henrique and I think it's, if you land Adam Henrique, now you're looking at bolstering your fourth line. If you can, and adding a depth defenseman. I don't see us talking about two ads where we're like, they got two of the names.
Yeah.
Not without some major subtraction of some sort, too.
And I honestly, Shogger, I think they got to be careful with that. Think about Rangers last year, Tarasenko and Kane both coming in. You know, it didn't really seem to fit. The pieces didn't fit together. So I think they got to be really careful what the chemistry looks like on the team and what they want to look like post-trade deadline. A fourth liner, I don't think is as big a deal as, you know, if you got two middle six forwards. I mean, that's just quite disruptive. So maybe one there, maybe like a Carrick at Am. I thought he looked pretty good. He's got a lot of energy.
Yep.
I still like Duhaime out of Minnesota as a fourth line option. So those are two guys I'd kind of keep my eyes on for that fourth line.
Kay Gill says, "You sure about that, Ryan?" And he sent me a winky face. So a winky from Kay Gill, maybe feeling like they can pull two rabbits out of this cap squeezed hat that they've got. All right, that was Takeaways brought to you by Martin Motorsports. More trade talk on the way. When Struds and I come back, we're going to take a lap. There was a deal in the NHL today. We'll talk about that and some of the other scuttlebutt that is out there. Tons of show remaining, so stay with us. Long Shots Golf is the destination for both golf enthusiasts and sports fans. Top-of-the-line TrackMan simulators provide a highly entertaining and accurate golf experience, while a full-service sports bar loaded with big screens and scratch kitchen make it a truly unique destination. They have locations in Sherwood Park and Edmonton. Experience the best indoor golf and sports bar in town. Visit longshots.ca. That's longshots with a Z.ca.
Time to talk about your mortgage? It doesn't have to be a daunting conversation. With over 16 years in the industry, Maria Gallus with Maximal Mortgages knows how to make it easy. With access to dozens of different lenders, let Maria customize the perfect solution for you. Whether you're purchasing, refinancing, or renewing, or a first-time buyer, Maria's simplistic approach and expert advice will have you feeling confident you're in great hands, making informed decisions. Take the stress out of your mortgage journey. Contact Maria Gallus at mortgagesbymaria.ca. That's mortgagesbymaria.ca.
Okay, let's take a lap. Brought to you by Backscape, the revolutionary male grooming tool just got even better. It's been upgraded, folks. The Backscape 2.0. Look at that. Looking sharp. This fella in the commercial made good use of it. Man, oh man. Meaning you can use the shaver anywhere on your body. They've got a new friction fit handle that allows that shaving head to snap in and out. Bid farewell to all your unwanted body hair with no cuts, scrapes, bumps, or mess with the new titanium coated shave head as well. Look at that. You can do your head. Gager can now use the Backscape on that dome of his. Unmatched comfort and efficiency. Backscape.com is the place to go, and you use the promo code GYB10. That's GYB10, and you'll get 10% off. Backscape. Stay smooth, gentlemen. You gotta love the upgrade, Strutty. Hey, you can work on that, work on your peaks with that. You can keep them nice and clean.
When the time comes, my friends.
So you're going to let it go? You're not going to hang on? Like when it's time, you'll just go? You'll just have to go with it?
We're a long ways away from that. Come on, let's get that. Many years of riding the elliptical away from me shaving my head. Vegas, getting busy today. Trying to get a jump started. Well, I guess that there have been other trades, but they get Anthony Mantha from the Washington Capitals for a second rounder this year, fourth rounder in 2 years. Mantha's a big player, big winger, has had a resurgence. You know, I would phrase his career as a bit underwhelming. I think there was a lot of height and expectations.
I think that's fair. Guy's 6'5" with crazy like skills.
He's not a bad player. I think that's where people are like, he's not a good. No, I just think that you look at him and think there should be more. He should be able to do more.
Yeah.
So now they get it there in Vegas. He's a big guy. We know Stone's out. What is the lacerated spleen? I think he's going to be out, well, at least till the end of the season. Then who knows after that?
So if magically he ever comes down the tunnel for the playoffs, who knows after that?
He might. But they pick up Mantha. They retained 50% of the deal. That's sort of the contract Washington did. So I think it's a pretty nice return for Washington. And then for Vegas, he's another guy who can score in their lineup, a big body. Doesn't really play big, but it's got a big body. Shogger.
Yeah, 100%. I agree with what you said, underwhelming, right? When he came in, man, you looked at that frame, you looked at that size. He's got pretty good hands for a big guy, probably, you know, leaving a fair amount on the table, but he's done a good job bringing it back around here, right? So he's got the 20 goals this season. He's got 34 points. You know, the defensive numbers are decent, but he's got 20 goals. He's not even playing 15 minutes a night. So like good contributions here. And this is Vegas. I mean, you look at the odds right now. I don't know that a lot of odds makers are taking Vegas super serious right now. Is it just me, or should they not be considered fairly formidable here?
I'll say this about Mantha. He and it's going to sound bad. Mantha to me doesn't feel like a Vegas type player. He doesn't play with a ton of pace.
Yep.
When I think of Vegas and the way they play. Let's just go through some of the obvious guys like Marchessault or Eichel, Stone. I know he's out, but these types of players, they come at you with pace and they're just wave after wave after wave. That is not Mantha to me. That is not how he plays. Now, he could learn to play that way in the next 6 weeks prior to the playoffs, but I'll be very interested to see where his ice time goes and if he adjusts or if the team adjusts to him.
Yeah, for sure. Some other interesting news out there from CJ tonight.
So I want to get this tweet right, or this tweet that he sent.
Yeah, go ahead and grab it.
Chris Johnson. So it says this. Chris Johnson, yeah. So he is saying, I had it up here.
That's okay. Cool. Take a minute and grab it. He works for The Athletic, and he's an insider on TSN. He did a little bit of digging on the Vancouver Canucks, who, as we know, just acquired Lindholm from the Calgary Flames. But he dropped that tweet study, and everybody went, what?
Yeah, so let's get to the first tweet he put about 8 hours ago. Chris Johnston. The expectation that Guntz will be dealt by the Pens as a rental. It doesn't sound like a potential acquirer. Teams have shown much interest in trying to work on extension as part of the trade. 2 hours later, he says, with the Canucks believed to be among those pursuing Jake Guentzel, word is they have had discussions about potentially flipping Elias Lindholm to the Bruins as part of the machinations to make it happen. Nothing concrete in place at this time. Still lots of moving parts. So I would be blown away if they traded for Lindholm and then they flip him. And I'm guessing they'd get kind of, you know, like, whatever, they'll get some of the assets they got back, so they just basically trade. It means I could almost see a three-team trade here. Let's just call it what it is. But I would be blown away because that doesn't look good. If you're a team that trades for a guy like that, and then you get flipped again by that team, and I know it's not like he got traded after he signed, but I would be you'd be like, what the hell are these guys doing? But maybe they don't feel they need the center, they need the winger. I don't know. Lindholm looks like he's been pretty good there. And on the team has struggled recently. They got a big win last night against the Ducks. Or was it two nights ago against the Ducks?
Well, so the idea being, I mean, they grabbed Lindholm when there was a little bit of question about Pettersson and his future, right? Was he going to sign? What was going to happen there? So you grab Lindholm and it's like, oh, you got this guy, right? There was lots of speculation in Vancouver that was a bit of a part of a side benefit was you kind of put it in Pettersson's mind. Like there's someone here to take your spot at the table. If you don't, you know, if you aren't willing to grab it, And then Pettersson does the deal. And by the way, just happened to hear about a potential trade with Carolina that got that going. Talk about a powerful move from the Canucks to float that out there that, you know, initiates the conversations, gets the deal done with Pettersson.
Right.
But now that you've got Pettersson done and you look at this team, you got him and Miller down the middle as it sits. Would you maybe not rather have some strength on the wing? That would be the logic, right? That you bring Gensel in to play in your top six because Lindholm at times would be the 3C. They're a little deeper through the middle and maybe a little more strength on the wing. There is some logic to it, depending on what the asset trade looks like.
For sure. And I'll be interested to see. But in the future, I wonder how people with no movement clauses, and I don't think Lindholm had one, but how apt would they be to make that move to there? Because our Angels remember when they traded for this guy, then remember when he was traded again.
Jimmy Rutherford. That guy is not afraid to wheel and deal and play the games. That was Taking a Lap, brought to you by Backscape 2.0. Brand new technology, new handle, new shave head. It's fantastic. So check them out online. GYB10 is the promo code if you want to pick one of those up. When we come back, we're going to get to Ask Us Anything. Lots of great action coming in on the stream. But next, Strutty's World. Stay with us.
Winter is upon us, so why not make the best of it? Marmot Basin Ski Resort is where it's at. Ski half price every day, no blackout periods. Pick up your escape card for $99 and make winter fun more affordable. Half the price, all the powder. Get yours at www.skimarmot.com.
Okay, heroes, are you trying to tough it out through a sports or life injury right now? Trying to prove your mettle by grinding through, gritting your teeth? Well, Redefined Health is here to say it's time to come on in. At Redefined Health, they'll high-five you for your toughness and then get to work on helping you fix the problem. Helping athletes and heroes find better balance, performance, and injury prevention. Visit RedefinedHealth.com.
When you make a mistake, heads should roll. It's not right. And I'm here. Someone has to put their foot down. Now that I say it out loud, it does sound a little crazy.
Gotta look good.
Austin Peterson with a hot take. Says, force Brown to play with McDavid until he scores a goal. Force it, force it, force it, force it. Just get him going and ready for the playoffs. Would be like adding another player if you can unlock him. Maybe we'll get to that and Ask Us Anything. Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. Locations in Calgary and Edmonton. Whether you're a homeowner, contractor, builder, DLR is the most reliable source for vinyl fence. Opened back in 2005 and not going anywhere. Unmatched service, high quality, North American made products. Visit DLRVinylProducts.ca. Strutty, I hand to you the spotlight, sir.
Thank you. It's an uneasy time for a hockey player when you get near the trade deadline. Let's just look at the teams at the bottom. So if you're at the bottom of the standings, an Anaheim, Arizona, Chicago, you know that, you know, some of your teammates are leaving. It might be you. Now, some people are looking forward to maybe going from a last place team to a playoff team. Others might be happy where they're at. But there's always things behind the scene. You know, they like the city they're playing in. Their wife and kids are there. Or they want to stay in the Eastern time zone. Whatever. So it's uneasy. So that's how it looks like from the bottom of the pile. Now, at the top of the pile, it's exciting. You know, let's just use Oilers, for example. You know, as a player, that there are going to be changes to your team. And when I say changes, I should say it upgrades. They're looking to upgrade and to add more to your team, to bring more. But with that, you could be losing good friends on your team. You know, people keep talking about, I think it's Bob Stauffer, how much Fogel doesn't want to get traded. And I get that. He's on a good team. He's having a good year. But he doesn't control it. And he could easily be out the door on Thursday or Friday, as orders make space, create cap space, or make room on a line for whichever, again, upgrade or thing they think they need in that spot. So it's a really difficult time. And then also, if you aren't the guy out the door, you might get pushed down. So look at Ryan McLeod. If they do bring in a center, Ryan McLeod is probably not going to be a center on this team anymore, and he's going to be a winger. Now, maybe he's happy being a winger because he gets to play beside Leon or times Connor, whatever, but it's an odd time. So I think when we're going through this process and we're adding these players, whether, you know, they're Thursday or Friday to come in, it's going to take a little bit of time for everyone to kind of just calm down. Okay. This is everyone on the team. This is what it looks like. This is where I fit in. Then even the coaches, they now have to jiggle the lines and have them fit, find new chemistry in short order, 5 to 6 weeks before the playoffs start. We saw it in last year in New York with Tarasenko and Kane. I don't believe those two guys fit on that team. It wasn't enough time to get the power play going. There's too many cooks that want to be in that power play kitchen.
Interesting, Struds. You know, it's an interesting dynamic. How much do you mess with it? Like, the team is going really, really well, and there were a few bumps in the road here over the last week and a half or couple of weeks until they hit this 5-game winning streak. But overall, man, their numbers are ridiculous, like expected goals and expected goals against and all these metrics that you use to determine how real is this team. I was looking at them today. I mean, the Edmonton Oilers are juggernauts in a lot of the statistical categories that a lot of people pay close attention to. So how much do you mess with it? Because now you are messing with chemistry. You're messing potentially with D pairings that are used to playing with each other. By the way, we haven't talked about the new D pairings for the last couple of games, but the idea that you can upset the apple cart and then each individual player might react differently to different things. So you don't want to overdo it. We've seen teams overdo it and it doesn't go well. So this is it. It's a delicate touch, but you have needs that you have to address for the general manager, and you got to factor all that in.
Last year, Ken Holland made a very targeted and perfect drop of Ekholm into this lineup. I would suggest that doing something like that makes a lot of sense because it's a perfect spot, and you know exactly where he's going. So if you're going to bring in a player, can't just say, we're bringing in this good player. We'll figure it out when he gets here. I think you have to know where that player fits. And that's why when I keep looking at that third line center, I think that fits. I think that's an area you say McDavid, Nuge, or Leon, that second, and then you have player A in that 3C. Then you move the players around him. Again, the fourth line is different. That fourth line is guys are coming and going on that all the time. So you're not as worried about the chemistry on that line, but those top three lines, they're important and it makes a difference.
Bit of a different topic here. True or false? The Edmonton Oilers will play Vinny Desharnais more minutes in the playoffs than Cody Ceci. And they're kind of, I feel they're testing the theory right now, and I feel it's going well. I mean, he played more minutes in them tonight. They flipped the pairings. They've got him next to Darnell Nurse. Something in them is saying we might be able to lean on this guy in a bigger way than we have so far. And they're testing it, Struddy. And it's working here at times.
What's the guy in Vegas? Is it Haig? What's the big D-man?
Big guy, yep.
Big guy, competes, hits, makes a pretty good first pass. Is there that much difference between he and Desharnais? You know, like when you look at that play now, Haig, I believe, was their third line D-man in the playoffs last year, but he played decent minutes as it moved up. So, oh boy, that's, I'm not saying it's a risk, but it is.
I mean, it's easy to switch back.
It is. Yeah. And you can start like that for sure.
Like, why do you think they made the change then? Like, why would they have put Desharnais next to Darnell Nurse if they didn't want to, again, for a second time now, see if he can handle some more minutes, see if he can handle some tougher competition, and see how he does? I think they feel like Desharnais, there's even another step to be taken here by Desharnais, and they feel like maybe he's ready to take it before the playoffs start. And they're giving him the leeway to kind of lean into it a little bit. That's what I'm seeing.
Two things. His confidence is growing, and so is the number on his contract for next year.
Yeah, so, you called it months ago. You said they needed to get on this guy and get him done.
Yeah, I think Oilers fans might be surprised about what that looks like. But that's I don't want to be a downer. But I'll say this. I believe that Cody Ceci needs to be more assertive and more physical. I think he plays... soft's the wrong word, but he doesn't, he's not as assertive and standing up and take away time and space as much as Vinny does. And maybe they like that. And when Vinny plays that way, maybe that gets Darnell to play it as well. Because I think CeCe's more of a, just kind of back off a little bit and not get burned, right? I'll just keep everything in front of me. But when you give good players time and space, they're going to find a way to beat you. I think Vinny, for more often than CeCe does, kind of stays up on his guys and takes away their time and space. So I wonder if it's not a subtle message through to CeCe.
Might be opponent-based too, right? Against a certain type of skating team. Maybe you protect Vinny a little bit. Maybe against a heavier team or a different type of team. Maybe you're willing to put him into those matchups. But it's interesting to see them play around and experiment. Look at his minutes tonight. And I thought he was really good. All right, that was Strutty's World, brought to you by DLR Vinyl Products. When we come back, going to give away a hat and then get to Ask Us Anything. Very quick break and lots more to come.
For over 60 years, Belvedere Golf and Country Club has been delivering a high-quality golf experience to Edmonton and area. This beautiful private club, located on Highway 21 just south of Sherwood Park, occupies 160 acres and presents a challenging yet adventurous 18-hole design. A beautiful clubhouse, fully stocked pro shop, and warm, friendly staff truly make it feel like you belong to something unique and special. Visit www.belvederegcc.com.
All right, let's give away a hat, shall we? Our Kin Print giveaway brought to you by DeBoer's Golf Shop and Fitting Center, aiming to help you play better golf with golf fitting instruction, after-sales support, golf merchandise, and clothing as well. We're going to give you a trivia question. Send us an email with your answer. Actually, you can go online, gybpod.com, and that's how you can enter the contest. That's our website, gybpod.com. What is Adam Henrique's career high in points in a season? We'll keep it nice and friendly. Adam Henrique's career high in points in one season. Send your answer to us on our website, gybpod.com. You can win a Got Your Back hat along with $25 in store credits. You got to go pick it up at DeBoer's. So this contest, a little bit more for the locals because you got to go into DeBoer's to pick it up. But you can also purchase hats online as well. All right, let's get to Ask Us Anything, brought to you by Rini Buchlan, the Shark of the Park from Maxwell Devonshire Realty. Voted the number one individual agent for 2 years in a row. And you'll see why when you see her commitment to providing her clients with professional services, skilled negotiations. She's got great knowledge of Sherwood Park and Edmonton surrounding area. Give her a call, 994-0280. Zuby, hop back on in here, buddy. And Omar says, hey, Shogger, how about you give me a hat for being vital in the live chat, LOL. Omar wants a freebie, guys. I don't know. Zuby, what do you think?
We'll have to rank all of the all of our chat room regulars. We're not going to do that live. We'll have that'll be a side maybe in the chat or something. Omar's in there. He's a good contributor, but he doesn't have a gem of the night under his belt, and we know Shane Matheson has that. So I think it's hard to put him in the top tier if you don't even have a gem of the night.
There you go. All right.
Sorry, well, Omar. You're a good contributor.
I got a 4 o'clock wake-up call and a 7 a.m. flight. I'm going to meet the team in Columbus for trade deadlines. So let's give 5-6 minutes here to ask us anything and have at her, Zuby.
Saber Cove says, I have no idea on your website how to enter. I think you go under the merch tab.
Oh, yeah. Go over. As you click up on the right side, it says GYB merch, and that's where you can enter the contest. Sorry about that. Or you can send us an email, gybpod@gmail.com.
Okay, let me just quickly, I was going to go somewhere else first, but I see this name here and it's been coming up a lot, and this is a funny comment. Andy Pandy says, Anthony Duclair has been scoring like he wants out of San Jose. Lots of people have been bringing up that name and wondering where he might be a fit with the Oilers, and is he that kind of sneaky kind of Ekholm acquisition? Apparently, he's got a goal and assist tonight, and apparently I think 6 goals in his last 10 games, something like that. What would you guys feel about adding an Anthony Duclair?
We've kicked this name around before. So when I talk about bringing in someone who is in your top six or the top nine, and you need to say, this is our guy. This is like Adam Henrique is that type of guy, right? That's the guy. Duclair to me is a wild card. So I don't think you would pay a ton for him, and his contract would have to reflect that. And he comes in and you see what you got. You hope for it, but he's not the guy you're coming in to solidify, say, this is our second line right winger. He's just a guy that comes in and see what he can do. I think he's a bit of a wild card, Shogger, but I love the way he plays. I love his speed.
Yeah, once again, it has to be a very clear fit on the top two lines. Very clear fit on the one of the top two right wing spots, or just go get the center. Just go and get the center. There is no point in going and getting another winger. They've got nothing but wingers that can maybe fit in that spot and maybe not, right? They don't need another guy who, in a pinch, gets the bump up the lineup. They got enough of those guys. So if it's not a guarantee for that spot, get the center instead. Lock yourself in with the center and increase your versatility in the lineup.
Saber Cove says, we know teams like Vancouver and Vegas are going all in this season. I'm okay with matching it. Go big or go home. We know that Ken Holland's talked for a long time about how he wants to leave the team, but do you get the sense at all that he's talking about adding three days from the deadline. He's talking about adding three players. Do you get the sense the mindset has changed to really go all in this year, Shager?
No, I mean, he's been all in since the start of the year. I don't think there's any hesitation to go all in, but there's different ways to do it. There's reckless abandon, and then there's all in with an eye on the future as well. And that's the difference, Struds, between blowing out a first-round draft pick on a pure rental who you have no chance of re-signing, and everybody knows this is a three-month ad. And that's what they're trying to avoid. They're trying to avoid doing that. And to me, that's the difference between all in with reckless abandon and all in with a bit of an eye on the future, Struts.
Well, look what the Leafs did last year. Was it last year when they got Ryan O'Reilly and all those guys? Like they went all in and they tried to fill so many holes, and it was exciting for their fans, but it didn't really help out. So when you make a choice to add, like the depth defenseman to me is going to be like a fifth round. I don't see that being a big
no.
thing. So just let's just park that to the side with all due respect to all fifth rounders that have ever played in the NHL. Then after that, you're figuring out what are we willing to pay to bring in someone who's going to help us in that top nine. And maybe it is the third line center. So like all in for me is different than like all in. If you're going all in, it'd be Holloway, it'd be Broberg, it would be everyone who's not on the roster right now and probably your first rounder. So I'm trying to make calculated decisions that help this team get better without disrupting what we have going on right now.
Yeah.
Where was I going next?
Subi, did you get caught daydreaming?
I did. I have somewhere I could go. Nate Hay says, I'd bet my life savings on Stone playing in the playoffs. A little quick departure over here to Las Vegas. Not to say that nothing's being fey or anything like that, but handicap it. You guys think Mark Stone's going to end up playing in the playoffs for Vegas this year? Give us your percentage of likelihood.
I think the injury is a significant and serious one. I don't think it's BS. And I think Mark Stone is a pretty ballsy guy that if there's any way on planet Earth he can play, he will play. So do I think that it's this giant cooked conspiracy? That's a pretty significant injury. So I'm not going to say that about them, but I wouldn't doubt Stone's ability to get back in. Struds, we've seen that.
Yeah, no, I think it's fair, and that's a fair comment. Now, the question is, you know, if Vegas doesn't get playing better, you know, how deep do they go? You know, right now they're not playing very well.
No, they're not, for sure. They're not.
So, and there's still time to turn that around. There's no doubt about it. But without your captain, I think Stone is a lot of the heartbeat of that team. How does that look? And if, you know, I think I would guess second round. I'm guessing Stone comes back late first, early second round. So
there you go. Not necessarily for game number one of the postseason. Right. Zuby, were you ready this time? What do you got?
I am. I found the one I meant to do last time. I'm jumping around here a little bit.
Okay.
So there was the interview with Ken Holland where I believe I saw a tweet that he said basically that Broberg and Holloway, he doesn't expect them to be on the table for the trade deadline this year. But if you're talking about bringing three guys in with that amount of cap space, then still feels like some salary has to go out, right? So he didn't mention Fogel, CeCe, Janmark. Who do you get the sense is kind of on the table to go out the other way, Struds?
Well, first off, next year Broberg and Holloway will be on the team. They're going to replace Fogel and I believe Kulak or CeCe. I think that's what's happening, right? Because they're cheaper. As far as who's going to go out, I don't know. I mean, they do have quite a bit of cap space. I think they can make some things work with where they move around money and other people take money. If I had to guess, though, I might say Fogel. Shaggy?
Yeah, I think that makes sense. If you're looking to add something significant, and again, with Gagne and waivers, they're in the range of being able to take on a player whose cap hit is about $3 million. And if they wait until the deadline, that's like $3.1 million. So you can add a reasonably sized piece to the roster just as it sits right now, although they have been short here for a while. But you can get teams to retain. And so let's use Henrique for an example, right? You involve two teams and you get them at a quarter of what the salary is now. Well, that is a significant add to your roster for not a lot of cap space. Then you've got room. You could add a depth defenseman at, you know, 1.1, 1.2 million bucks. And you're still under $2.5-3 million here. And that's two players. And then you want to add another fourth line center. That's, you know, whatever, $1 million, $1.5 million. Well, now that's where you start talking about having to move somebody out. So you could do one player with a pretty significant salary. If you get the retention you need elsewhere, you probably still have a little space under the cap to add another one, as long as it's, you know, $1 million or so for a depth player. And then if you want to add that third piece of any significance, now you're talking about. So there's room to maneuver with what they have. But if you want to talk three pieces, you're probably punting someone out the door.
Is it your, you mentioned Henrique again, you guys kind of touched on this earlier, but some people have asked, do you get the sense that the price for Henrique includes a first or not? And the other thing is, Jacob GK said, any chance of re-signing Henrique? That's looking pretty far down the road, but it might affect the assets going out if you think that's a possibility.
Yeah, don't know the possibility of something like that. You know, Fogel's not going to be back with the dollar figure. I mean, he's sitting on a career high on goals here, so it's going to be really hard to retain him. If you're re-signing, like if you're trying to retain Adam Henrique, does that not mean Ryan McLeod's probably on the way out, Struddy? Like, is that not his place at the dinner table, that third line center position? So I don't know. But you wonder, too, if there's a bigger deal, right? If you can go to Anaheim, you're willing to move that first if you're getting a couple pieces back, right? If you're getting Henrique and you're getting your fourth line center back as well, right? And the Ducks have a guy. So, you know, I think Ken Holland's willing to move that first, but maybe there's a bigger deal involving a couple players with one team, and that's what gets him to move on that first round pick, Struds.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. And yeah, I mean, there's like, I think for some people going all in means a full out blitz of every asset you have in the organization. And I don't believe in that. I don't think that's, if you have to add four or five pieces to become maybe a Stanley Cup contender, you're not a Stanley Cup contender right now. It's not worth that move. So you've got to be very calculated with what you do. But as far as we sign Henrique, I've thought of that. You know, maybe McLeod becomes a winger in that top six. Like, you know, it's hard to tell right now because they kind of got to figure out, I think, with Leon, you know, what happens there, because if he doesn't want to resign, you know, what happens there? So there's a lot of things to kind of work through. I can't really say yes, they're going to sign Henrique and not knowing with all the, you know, what does Darnay want? What happens? What do they do with Campbell? Like, there's so many issues on the table that I have a hard time expressing it right now.
One more Zuby, and then we got to wrap this thing up, man. I got to get to bed.
Okay, a number of folks were asking about Gagner being waived and sort of talking Gagner versus Connor Brown. Well, Penner's Pancake said, I don't know why Gagner is waived in this obsession with Brown. Is he the best penalty killer in the league? Am I missing something? Is there, what's behind, you know, that's the eye test. That's a very, you know, the fan comment, but what's behind that to make that?
Struddy, game one of the playoffs. You got a choice to ice Connor Brown or Sam Gagner. Who are you icing? Game one of the playoffs.
Oh, man. That's an unfair question.
Why? I'll answer it respectfully. And I'm a huge fan of Sam. He's a fantastic guy. But he's not built for the playoffs. Connor Brown has more ability to function in playoff speed and playoff physicality than I think Gagner does. And that's not a rip on Sam. He just, you know, the foot speed isn't there, and he's not necessarily built for that big game. As much as that get up and go and that try and that gutsy, and I love the guy, man, but I'm dressing Brown ahead of him. Aren't you, Struds?
I think that what's going to happen is I think that Sam Gagner is going to impact the Oilers playoff. I really feel that.
Oh, I like that call.
Yeah, so this is why, because, you know, you it might not be the first round, might not be the second round. There's some point where he's going to get an opportunity to come in. They're going to want a shot in the arm, and Sam's going to come in and deliver that. And maybe at this stage of his career, that's kind of where he's at, rather than an every night playoff player. But I, you know, if I need a guy to come off the bench and bring some juice, he's my guy. So, you know, I was asked earlier today, does this mean he's down to orders, that he's been waived? I don't believe so. I do not believe that at all. Unless he gets picked up. But I think he's going to find a way to impact this stretch drive.
I like it.
And the Oilers Pep, because of who he is and how he just carries himself.
Got to book that. Remember that, Zuby. Remember that that has been said. I like that call. Connor Brown is a huge part of a penalty kill that can be a massive difference maker in a big moment. He's got a chance at being on the ice in the last 3-4 minutes of a game if that penalty kill is needed. I'd love it if you were right about Gagne, though, because it'd be a great story. All right, time for our gem of the night as we wrap this thing up. Strutty, which direction are we going to go in tonight, pal? You got something in mind?
I know you're going to. I'll just say the Vinny Dernay where he says we might see these guys again.
Oh, here it is.
Yeah, it did. It did. It was tight. It was tight. It was not many shots, lots of block shots, lots of hits. And who knows, we might see them. We might see them at some point.
We might see them at some point. I love that call from the big guy. That'd be a heck of a final. Talk about two completely different games we've seen between the Bruins and Oilers in the last 10 days here, Strutty.
Yeah, to get to that final, you saw that back in, what was the 80s? Yeah. Lots of hockey to go before then, Oilers fans. Let's not get ahead of ourselves. Let's get through Friday around 3 p.m. Then we'll look to Saturday's game.
All right, sounds good, buddy. Oilers are in Columbus on Thursday night. That's pre-trade deadline. We'll drop a post-game podcast. I'm going to hop on a plane and go catch up with the team tomorrow, so I will be with them for that pod. And if there's any breaking news, keep an eye on our feed here on Got Your Back, and we will keep you posted. Great job tonight, Struds. Thanks, pal. Good luck on Overdrive tomorrow, buddy. Thanks. Be scrappy. Yeah. Don't take any shit from those guys. Be scrappy.
Yeah, I'll represent Western Canada.
Attaboy. Thank you so much for joining us. We had an unreal audience tonight on Twitter. Like thousands of people. That was amazing to see. So we love that. Thank you for tuning in. Thanks to all of you who tuned in here on YouTube as well. And if you're listening in podcast form, we appreciate you. Big thanks to our title sponsors, Sherwood Buick GMC. Kyle, we love you. We miss you. We dedicate this one and many more to you, buddy. Love you.